It's Labor Day weekend, you know. Do you give thanks, those of you who are able to work? Do you give thanks for your job? You know, there are people, even people in this room, who are unemployed. Do you give thanks for your paycheck? Do you give thanks for your pension check? Do you give thanks for your Social Security check? This is Labor Day weekend. You know, Thanksgiving is not something we do only in November. It's something that should be a part of everyday life. And don't you think we should be thankful for everyday things? Even things like going to school. Those of you who went to school this week, are you thankful for school? What is it? Count your blessings. Because there are times when those blessings aren't there. There are moments when life crumbles. But you know, it's in those crumbling times that some interesting things happen. This chapter, by the way, from Isaiah, this chapter was spoken first, I guess, to people going through crumbling times. Whether it was heard by those who were being forced into a difficult situation beyond their control by a power beyond them, you know, the forces of Nebuchadnezzar pushing them into captivity in Babylon, or whether they were being encouraged through these words to return back home to an uncertain future in a land that had quite literally crumbled apart because of poor administration, to a city that was being poorly rebuilt, to homes that really weren't there. I mean, I think of people in times of war and how they flee, and often when they are gone, other people move into their homes, and when they come back, they don't got their homes anymore. So coming back is a difficult prospect. This chapter was written for such people, an encouragement to step forth anyway. There are a lot of anyway times in life, aren't there? Times when the sun isn't necessarily shining and as beautiful as the weather has been this weekend. Times when things fall apart, when the cookie crumbles, when life falls flat. And I can think of persons going through times like that just now, and perhaps that person is you. Or perhaps that person was you. An interesting thing about such times is what God does with such situations. So often, when life is crumbling apart, God is protecting and pulling back together. So often when we are facing our difficult circumstances, God is behind the scenes. And even when we cannot see that hand that is always there, God is at work, rebuilding, providing hope, even when we feel hopeless. Our God is, as that song said, an awesome, awesome God. But such words are not spoken mindlessly. Such words undergird our very being. There's one philosophy, I guess, of the church that says that the primary purpose of the church, and let me just look at my notes so I get this right, that the primary purpose of the church is to facilitate regression to extra dependence. To, in other words, help people to fall into the arms of God. Because we are tempted through our labor to believe that our world holds together by our very efforts. Of course, the lie comes into place and our realization of it being a lie when something difficult happens. And I mentioned earlier persons who have faced into difficulty through health circumstances. Did you know that a huge percentage of bankruptcies and foreclosures on homes in this country are due to health problems that people have faced? And they have lost a great deal and must lose further their home. Many of us are only a couple paychecks away from severe problem. We have not saved a great deal in this country. And some of us in this room, you know, fit into that category. So that if those paychecks don't come, we are facing difficult circumstances. Now, the purpose of the church, I don't believe, is to create a dependency upon us. We are seeking to help people to be interdependent, but also to be independent. It's going to develop their own resources, the resources that are there. But the key point is the resources that they have already in God. And this philosophy of the purpose of the church is to facilitate regression to an extra dependence, is to help us to face into the difficult times that will come. And believe me, there are things in life we cannot avoid. What is it, the two we often talk about? Death and taxes. There are many more. There are things in life we cannot avoid. The purpose of the church is to help us to turn continually to the source of our strength, to the one who provides for our needs ultimately. The purpose of members, the task that members are to help with guidance. First of all, to help in guidance by facing into our own anxiety so that when we seek to help others, we are not sharing our fears, but rather sharing our hopes and our hopes that are derived from God. We help one another with guidance. And I think this passage of Scripture is perfect for this. Especially these two verses. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart. And I think when we say, we don't just speak it. We live it. Don't just tell people that they've got a friend in Jesus. Be that friend through Jesus. Strengthen the weak hearts, Isaiah says. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. Those words are spoken throughout Scripture. Be strong. Not in your own strength, but in the strength that is beyond you. Be strong, do not fear. But that's not where it ends. I love how it goes on. Be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. That's not saying you know, here is your God, or here is your God, or here is your God, but here is your God. A few weeks back, I said something that a few people misinterpreted when I said that we don't take Jesus to other people. Jesus is already there ahead of us. I did not mean to say that Jesus is not with us at all times. I was just trying to get across that Jesus is always far ahead of us. But the main point is, God is here all the time. Amen. Even when we can't see, we have faith. We trust. Be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. Let me close with a story. Actually, a story related to our last hymn. Gospel songwriter Thomas Dorsey, he was one of these fellas who was kind of both in and outside the church. He couldn't make up his mind whether he wanted to sing in honky-tonks and other places, or whether he wanted to be known for gospel songwriting. And eventually he made that decision and stepped over into new territory for him, full-time into that. But he faced a point when his life crumbled apart. His wife, and he was away at the time, his wife was expecting their first child, died in childbirth. Quote, "I buried Nettie and our little boy together in the same casket. Then I fell apart. For days I closeted myself. I felt that God had done me an injustice. I didn't want to serve him anymore or write gospel songs. Racked by grief, he finally let a friend take him to a neighborhood music school the following Saturday evening." Dorsey continues by saying in his biography, "This friend left me there, alone in a room with a piano. It was quiet. The late evening sun crept through the curtained windows. I sat down at the piano and my hands began to browse over the keys. Something happened to me then. I felt at peace. I felt as though I could reach out and touch God. I found myself playing a melody, one I'd never heard or played before, and words came into my head. They just seemed to fall into place." Now, that melody was actually a tune somebody else had written, but he kind of completed it. And this hymn healed this man, Thomas Dorsey's spirit, and has been a balm for many others. In his biography, he concludes with these words, "I learned that when we are in our deepest grief, when we feel farthest from God, this is when he is closest and when we are most open to his restoring power."